Today's teaching by Pastor Kevin Myers is entitled, The Anatomy of a Breakthrough. This is the first teaching in the series, I Need a Breakthrough. To receive additional copies of this message or to receive any past teachings, please contact 12 Stone Church at 678-990-8100 or visit us on the web at 12stone.com.
So welcome to 12 Stone as we launch our series, I Need a Breakthrough. And perhaps the primary reason we all know we need a breakthrough is because we are very familiar with repeated breakdowns. And let's be honest, we all wish life were always up, but it's not. Life is more like, well, a seesaw. Life is a lot like a seesaw in that life has its ups and downs. How many of you have ever played on a seesaw here across the campus? Let's see hands. Yeah, seems familiar to most of us. And so you know that the seesaw goes up and down, but with it, there can also be breakdowns. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, check out this 30-second YouTube.
Ой, маленький. Ра-та-та, ра-та-та-та.
Oh, don't you just laugh and cringe at the same time? I mean, how many of you have ever been hurt on a seesaw? Huh? Yes, of course you have. To play on one is to get hurt. That seems to be equally true in life, doesn't it? Huh? You get into marriage and it's all fun, and then you have one of those moments where you get face planted, right? You're like, wow, what's that about, huh? You get into your career and it's full of promise, and what? And then something goes ugly. You get your finances on track, finances have a budget, and then you hit the ups and downs, and pretty soon a mishap and you have a setback. You come to God and you get on track in faith, and faith rises. You just get inspired, and then your character blows something up. You get a handle on your fitness, and something in your health goes ugly, right? See, life has breakdowns. Sometimes it gets done to us. Sometimes we do it to others. Sometimes we do it to ourselves, but we know in the real world, life has breakdowns. Life has what? Say it with me. Breakdowns. I was in a conversation with my nephew, Ryan, from that Thanksgiving to Christmas time this past year. Now, Ryan celebrated his 30th birthday recently, and we were really celebrating an awesome experience for him. He had just newly become a police officer in our home state of Michigan. And you would immediately say, particularly since he is a rookie and this is a career change, he's a pretty lucky guy. But you wouldn't say that if you knew his whole story. See, Ryan has had a few rides on the seesaw, a few face plants. We all have in the course of life, some that's been done to him, some that he's done to himself. And so I want to bring that conversation to you. Via video, I want to bring you into the dialogue, into the journey. And this first segment, we talked about breakdowns. Maybe while you listen in, you'll find yourself reflecting on your own breakdowns. Check it out. So let's talk about the early breakdowns, because you yourself have been on the other side of the law.
I've been in law enforcement, I would say, my whole life. Not always on the good side, unfortunately, but...
Let's start here. You dropped out of high school?
Yep.
Right?
Dropped out of high school. I was 17 years old. At the time, it seemed like the right thing to do.
I remember that going well with your dad, who is my brother. He was excited about that for you.
If you call that excitement, it was like any father. I don't think they want to ever hear those words out of their kid's mouth, but...
He had dreams for you, but then not long after that, he had a motorcycle accident.
Yep.
That added trauma to you and the family. He passed away.
Absolutely.
In that accident. Yep. Pretty rough on you.
2001, I was 19 years old. Lost, it's hard to put together. I mean, when you lose your best friend, somebody that means so much to you. You know, it's hard to put the pieces together. And yeah, I was lost. I life was rough.
Yeah.
Life was definitely rough. Made some bad, I'm not saying I made, it's not an excuse to make bad decisions, but in lieu of that, in lieu of his passing away, a lot of bad choices followed.
It helped encourage the direction you were already going.
Absolutely.
In a sense.
I would say absolutely.
And you've been in law enforcement all your life, is your joke, but that's because you ended up in jail for a period of time.
Yep.
How old were you when you ended up in jail?
I spent my 22nd birthday in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 21 when I went in.
So life wasn't quite reaching the dream stage yet.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, if there's one thing you do have when you're incarcerated, it's time and a lot of time to think about where you're at and where you want to be. And that's definitely not where I wanted to be.
So life has breakdowns. We all know this. Maybe you're already thinking about your own breakdowns, the things that have cost you, the decisions you've made. I love the way he just delivered it. You know what? I had a lot of time to think, huh? And in that process, I just had to confess, this is definitely not where I want to be. This is a great question for you. I mean, if you had a little time to think about it, are you where you want to be? In fact, I wish you'd just all take out your teaching notes right here in the room, in the Cafe Theater, in the Cornerstone Theater, who are listening in. I wish you'd just all take your teaching notes out right now. Grab a pen that's right underneath your chair and just drop that question on the top of your notes, would you? Are you where you want to be? Are you where you want to be in your walk with God? Are you where you want to be in your marriage? Are you where you want to be in your career? Are you where you want to be with your family and your relationships? Hey, are you where you want to be in your character? Let's push it a little bit. Are you where you want to be in your attitude, the way you carry yourself in life? Are you where you want to be in the knowledge of God's word? Is that really all you want to know? You all done? See, because getting honest about where you are and where you want to be is the beginning of a breakthrough. See, that's when you confess, you know what? My life has some breakdowns. I'm not where I want to be. And what we need more than anything else, what Ryan needs, is a breakthrough. We all need it. We need a what? A breakthrough. Say it with me. We all need a what? Breakthrough. In fact, the Apostle Paul, I think, was telling us he needs a breakthrough. I think in Philippians chapter 3, he was confessing that he himself is not where he wanted to be. He wasn't as far as he wanted to go, as he could go spiritually and the like. So take your Bibles, everybody, right underneath your chair. Grab a Worship Center Bible. We're going to turn over to the book of Philippians. You can follow along with me. We're going to be in chapter 3, page 1180, page 1180 in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. If you have your own Bible, you can turn there. Otherwise, we're on page 1180 in a Worship Center Bible. By the way, if you don't have a Bible of your own, let this be our gift to you, to encourage you so that you can get inside God's word and understand his purposes, his wisdom for your life. Well, here we are in verse 10. And here's what Paul says. We're kind of going to interrupt his writing because we don't have time for everything, but let's get the core of it. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Stop right there. That's an interesting thing to say and to write when he already does, right? I want to know Jesus. Hey, what are you saying? You already do know Jesus. The lead apostle, I mean, later on you look back, he's probably the lead apostle, wants to know Jesus. No, he already knows Jesus. What he's really saying is, I want to know Jesus what? More. I want to know him what? So that's a great question. Do you? That's really what he's inspiring here. See, I know where I am with him, but I want to know him more because there's more to know. See, early on, in Paul's life, his name was Saul. He was a devout Jew, but he was against Jesus, didn't believe Jesus was God's son, didn't believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And so he was persecuting the church. And the book of Acts, you find these stories unfolding. And by chapter 9, he's on the road to Damascus. He's going to take out some more Christians. And on the way, the resurrected Jesus appears to him, kind of messes him up. Wouldn't that mess you up? He became a follower of Christ. He knows him. He's met him. He's led untold numbers of people to Christ. And he's an apostle. I mean, he's writing the Bible under the inspiration of the Spirit. And he writes, I want to know Christ. And he goes on to describe, look, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And I just want you to get this. I want you to see how he integrates the eternal with the earthly. He just recognizes this is all kind of navigating in one world. I want to be a part of the eternal. I understand God's working in me right now. I want the power of the resurrection. I want to know him more. I want to be fully like him. I want to endure the sufferings, whatever's required of me to walk well with him on earth, and I know I'm going to be with him in eternity. I mean, he's got a sense that God has more for him. And so he describes in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. See, I haven't already arrived. I'm not already there. I haven't had all my breakthroughs. There's more ahead of me. So not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Here's what he's saying. I have a picture of what God has for me. I have a picture of the more that God has for me. And where I am is good and God's been kind, but I want the more. I want more that God has for me. Oh, I want my next breakthrough. So verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, and by the way, drop down to verse 17. Join together in following my example. Jump in on this. Mimic me in this. Let me be a model, a mentor in this. And in light of this, what Paul is really doing is he's giving us the anatomy of a breakthrough. And I want you to see this. In fact, I want you to write it down. I want you to kind of mark it on your soul. I think God will leverage this if you'll get it in your head and your heart and you'll practice. So here we go. He gives us the anatomy of a breakthrough. It's threefold. There's three always. You can jot them down, then I want you to say it with me. So here we go. The first one, always more. The second one, always forget. The third component, always forward. Always more, always forget, always forward. Always more, always forget, always forward. Okay, everybody here in the room, cafe, theater, Cornerstone, you fill in the blank. I'll say the always, you fill in the blank. And let's do that with some passion like we know what we're doing here. Okay, here we go. Here's the anatomy of a breakthrough. It's always more. It's always forget. And it's always, again, always more. Always forget, always forward. And I think when we don't have a breakthrough, listen, it's because we break down in one of those. We say, well, there's just no more. There's no next. Or we say, I'm not going to forget. I can't forget my past. That's going to weigh me down. Or we quit moving forward. This is so simple to say. So few people actually live this, and it is profound. It's life-changing. So let's unpack the first one, always more. Paul knew that God had more for him, and Paul would use the analogies of an athlete, because what he knew and we all know about athletes is athletes aren't satisfied in terms of their growth. He knows that there's a disconnect, or rather a discontent in athletes, right? Athletes, well, where are you? Are you where you want to be? Well, yeah, but not really where I want to be, because I want to go further. I got a finish line. I got an end zone. I got something I need to achieve. I got something I want to win. So there's a certain discontent in them. And with that, there is a deep desire and a drive to pass the next finish line. When Paul's writing, he's saying, this is how we should live spiritually. That you would live with the spiritual knowledge of like being a spiritual athlete. You would have a deep drive for the more God has. The spiritual life is a process of growth. And of course, once you come in relationship with God through Jesus, you understand that your whole life is spiritual. You don't separate, well, your marriage and your business and your money and your fitness and your... No. The whole thing, it's all one life under God. No, life is spiritual, and you would aspire to the things God has for you, the more that he has. In fact, in Ephesians 3:20, Paul says, this is a God of more. He could do exceedingly abundantly above. He could do more. But now we got to come to grips with this more. The easiest way to do it is let's go back to the seesaw. See, because life is like this. Life has, if you will, tensions that need to be managed. Life has seemingly opposing weights that need balance. Things like this, I could just illustrate. For example, here we go. There's more of God. And you put that weight down, and that kind of puts a weight on once, because that's true in life. There is more of God. But at the same time, we come over here and we say, ah, but there's more in me. And so somewhere in the course of your life, you go, well, you know what? Those are both kind of true. There's more of God. There's more in me. And you negotiate these. Here's what I'm talking about. There's more of God. Here's what I'm saying. You have not tapped out the divine. You understand this, don't you? Don't we understand this? You have not like tapped out all of God. You're not like, well, I've exhausted all the divine. I know God and all there is to know about God. I know him so intimately. No. There is more of God than you could ever know. The more you know about God and the more you know God, the bigger he gets and the smaller you feel, yes? And the more time you spend with God, the closer you get, and yet the further you feel, because there's more of him to know. And God is greater. God is wiser. God is more majestic, more powerful than any of us have ever imagined. You have not tapped God out. There's more of God. And listen, get this. And God loves you. God loves you more than you will ever know. However much you think God loves you, you're wrong. It's more. He loves you more than you will ever know. There's more. God is an ocean. And the most any of us have ever done is snorkeled the surface of God. He is so vast. There is more of God. By the same token, there's more in me. I have never tapped out the growth. Listen, God has put more in me. You got to be able to say this in your own soul. You got to speak this truth into you. You got to be able to say, God has put more in me. I say this many times as a reinforcement of the faith of the truth of God's word and what is true about God and true for me. God's put more in me. God's put more talent in me than I've ever trained. You understand that God's put more talent in you than you've ever trained. God has put more tough in me than I've ever exercised. You got to know that. Because when you hit quitting points, you got to know, oh, there's more in me. There's more in me. When you quit, you're done because you quit. Not because you had to, but because you chose to. Quitting is a choice. God has put more tough in you than you have ever exercised. Listen, God's put more in you. He put the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus said to his disciples in John, when I die, when I pass on and resurrect from the dead, this is good news for you because I will send the Holy Spirit. He will come and indwell you. You will have the power of God in you when you come in right relationship. Relationship with God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You got the literal power of God. You have the strength. That's why Paul later writes in Philippians. He says, well, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why? I have supernatural power. Therefore, by God's power, I can endure. You get this? Because God's in me, I have supernatural love, the ability to love in ways I otherwise cannot. Listen, that's why marriages that come under the lordship of Jesus Christ truly have a capacity to love through things that would blow up other marriages. I'm telling you, it's all the difference in the world. Holy Spirit in me, the power to stand under temptation and the like, this is how I endure. But on the other hand, it depends on God, right? I come right back over. Well, doesn't everything really depend on God? I mean, in John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If a man or woman remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do what? Nothing that lasts. What? It all depends on God. Philippians 2:13, he tells us, that is God who works in you both to will and to do the good acts. And so God's make it all depends on God. But the truth of the matter is, think about it, kind of it depends on you too, doesn't it? Because you get to make choices. You have a free will. You can decide to be wise or foolish. My nephew Ryan chose to quit high school. He chose to do things that would get him incarcerated. On the other hand, if you think about it, there are things only God could do. But if you say that, the truth is also there are only things I can do. See, there are things only God can do. Only God can create things like the soil, the earth. I don't create that. God does. But at the same time, I have to plow the soil. God doesn't do that work for me. I have to do that work, don't I? See, that depends on me. But God created seed. I don't create seed. God made seed, and seed's a miraculous thing. But at the same time, I got to plant the seed. See, that's on me. That depends on me. But what really depends on God is it needs rain and water, and I can't make all that happen. That's really God's creative design. But the truth of the matter is, I have to wait and weed. God doesn't weed it for me. But then it depends on God because God reproduces everything. God makes things grow. We don't know how they grow. Put it in the ground and it reproduces and gives us food and seed. And wow, that's an amazing thing. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't harvest it. That depends on me, doesn't it? Are you catching on? And in this tension and in this balance, God says, I got breakthroughs for you because I got more. There's more of me. I put more in you. You know, sometimes I think we pray, oh, dear God, give me a better life. And listen, I believe God's answer is, I will. But I don't just give it, I grow it. Oh, did you get that? I don't just what? Give it, I what? Grow it. One more time. I don't just what? Give it, I grow it. See, we want God to do that over a weekend. We think you show up in church on a weekend and you pray, oh, dear God, give me a better life. And by Monday morning, you should have one. God says, listen, I don't give that over a weekend. I grow that through many breakthroughs. So you don't just pray and do nothing. And you don't do everything and not pray. You have a sense of the centered balance of what I would just suggest here. God has more for me. It's centered in the confidence that God has more for me. You need to write that down in your notes. If you haven't written that down already, you need to get this in the core of your being. You got to decide what you're going to believe, because this is true. But if you don't believe it, you'll never tap it. See, what changed Ryan is while he's sitting in jail, he had to get a sense that God had more for him. Listen in on the next segment of the story.
Well, obviously, when you're celebrating your 22nd birthday in jail and you have an awful lot of time on your hands, it's not a high point in life, but a couple important things happened for you. One of them was completing high school. Tell me about that. And I think it was during that time that you got sense of a vision, a hope to be a police officer. Talk about that.
Yeah, when I went to jail, I got my GED.
Okay.
At the time,
the GED is the
a good enough diploma,
which is really completely
general education.
Okay. Diploma. It's like getting your high school equivalent.
Exactly.
Okay. So good for you. You completed high school.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. While I was incarcerated, I got an itch for the law enforcement. It really opened my eyes, and that's something I wanted to do because people who are in jail, they're not all bad people. They just make bad decisions. And even though I was there, I've always been somebody who likes to help people. I mean, anytime somebody asks me for help, you know, they usually ask me first because they know I'll say yes. That's probably why they do it. But I like to help people. And I seen how the people who work there were helping us and just interacting with us. And I thought, hey, that's something I'd really like to do. And I could do something like that. So
going into jail is the inspiration to dream about being a police officer someday.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Well, I was surrounded by officers, so they kind of rubbed off on me, I guess.
Yeah. So you get out of jail, and you become responsible, as they say. You get a job. You meet a great gal, which is awesome. Stephanie, she's a great gal.
She is awesome.
I got to perform your ceremony. You were 24 years old. Yeah. But in that process, you still had the itch to become an officer. Tell me about that.
I got out of jail, like you said. I was working bunch of dead-end jobs. I mean, you know, it's something that I couldn't do for the rest of my life. And I knew that that's what I was doing at the time wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. I knew there was something more for me to do. And it just got to the point where I decided to take a chance, go back to school with the approval of my wife. I entertained to her, you know, what do you think about me going back to school and becoming a police officer?
I love the thought, there's more for me. Yeah, here I am sitting in jail and I realize there's more for me. God has more for me. This doesn't have to be the end. I get in dead-end jobs. I say, you know what? God has more for me. Here's what I want you. Get a picture of the more God has for you. That's it right now. Just kind of wrap your head around that, write it down. You know, get a picture for the more God has for you. Whether it's the more God has for you in your marriage or in your career, in your finances or with your family, in your character, in your attitude, in your fitness, in the impact you'd make in the kingdom. Get a picture of the more God has for you. For Ryan, he got a picture of, you know what? I could be a police officer. He said, well, I was surrounded by him. Hey, listen, he was also surrounded by criminals. And you get to pick who you choose to model after, right? Yeah, interesting thing, when I was growing up and I came from, you know, kind of a messed up, dysfunctional, broken family, ended up in divorce, single mom kind of stuff. That was no model for how you do marriage. I didn't know how you do marriage and family. So I picked a family. I remember my teen years, Wayne and Jackie Schmidt. I picked this family that modeled what it meant to be and to have a godly family. You got to pick some models in your life. What's the picture of what a godly marriage, godly family, godly career, person who manages finances in a godly way, godly character, godly attitude, what does that look like? And aspire to it. Because God has more for you. When Paul said in verse 17 of chapter 3 in Philippians, he said, join me, follow my example, join in this. Let me be an example, a model for you, because what I want you to know is God has more for you. But if you don't believe this, listen, if you don't believe this right here, you'll conclude the bucket's empty. God doesn't have any more for you. So you're in a dead-end marriage. And your marriage doesn't have any more. God can't take you into a breakthrough, so you're going to quit on marriage. Of course you will, because you don't think there's any more in the bucket. So you end up in a dead-end marriage because what? Because you don't believe this. You won't chase this. You won't go after a breakthrough. There isn't one. Your character won't conquer anything because I grew up this way and this is the way I am. God can't change anything. This is the way you. There's nothing in the bucket. There's no more for me. You're not imagining this year the lives you're going to change for the kingdom. You're not committed to serving or giving. You're not thinking about the person that you're going to influence for the kingdom and invite them into worship and see them come to Jesus and celebrate their baptism. Oh, because I have so messed up past. You know what? God can't use me. God doesn't have any more for me. God doesn't have me to be a player for his kingdom. And so we end up with dead-end thinking and dead-end faith and dead-end jobs and dead-end finances. And you know why? We have dead-end attitudes. Of course, you got a dead-end life. You don't think there's any more. Hey, God has more for you. I'll tell you, what you believe will define your life, but the reality is God has more for you. But if you don't believe it, you won't tap into this bucket. You won't. I was 21. My wife was 20, Marcia, when we got married. I graduated from university work, was in my full-time career as a pastor. She was finishing up school. I was making a huge $12,000 a year, and she was, we were borrowing $5,000 a year for her to be in school, and so we were going backwards, and at our wedding, people were very gracious and gave us cards and gifts and money and checks, you know, and that helped us get through the first year or so, but really, we were there many times. We were just in desperate places financially. Well, anyhow, just curiously, a couple years into our marriage, we had one of those moments where we clean up a few little boxes, no big deal. And among the little stack of boxes was our cards from the wedding. And so we were going to just throw them all out. And I thought, you know, it'd just be fun to read through them. Let's remember who was at our wedding and the cool stuff. And it's just, you know, that kind of fun. So we were going through them, and we found at the bottom an envelope that was sealed. We opened the envelope. And inside the card was $75. Men and women, it might as well have been a million. When you make $250 a week minus taxes, $75 is gold. I looked at that check, and I mean, everything in me went ugly. I'm like, oh my gosh, how could we do it? I said, can we cash it? No, we can't cash a two-year-old. How many of you would have tried to cash the two-year-old check for this? Of course you would. Well, you know, maybe there's something wrong with me. I thought, I can't do that. It's horrible. It's humiliating. I don't even know that the count's there, and it would just be embarrassing. And so I let it get thrown away, and it's been 28 years, and it still bothers me, okay? I mean, this is just annoying. There was money in the envelope, and do you know how many times I needed that over those 2 years, but because I didn't believe anything was in there, I didn't go look. I didn't go tap it. Men and women, when you don't believe God has any more for you, you won't go after a breakthrough because you don't think there is one. Even though it's been here the whole time. So what do you believe? See, God has more for you. There's more of God, there's more in you, and God has more for you. My nephew had to navigate that. He had to come to understand that God had more for him. I remember when he made some decisions to return to God in faith and began to chase God in a better way and try to get beyond dead-end living and dead-end job. And in that process, I want to tell you something, God did not solve it over a weekend. He had to chase college. That was challenging for him. He had to go to college and do academy. What should have been done in 2 years, it took him how many? Three. It took him 3 years. You know why? Because he was working full-time while he chased it. 27 years old, he jumps in. He called it Groundhog Day because if you've ever seen the movie, every day was the same for 3 years, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. to work full time and go to school and Chase Academy. You see, that's how most breakthroughs really happen. We quit if it doesn't happen in a weekend. God has layers. He wants to help you break through, and he has huge things on the other side. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to act on the second component. It's not just always more. It's always forget. What's the second one? Always what? Forget. You gotta practice the always forget. In fact, what Paul was doing in this whole athletic analogy is it's like a runner. So he gives us a picture. He says, okay, you know what runners do? They're in the athletic games, they're in the Olympics. What does a runner never do? Never looks behind, right? What happens? You pass six other runners. What happens when you look behind? Somebody passes you, you lose. See, he's giving you a picture saying, listen, like a runner, you get your eye on the finish line, has nothing to do with going on with anybody else. And listen, whatever ground you've covered behind you, you forget. Say with me, whether it's failure or success, you must forget it. Oh my goodness, this is a whole nother teaching. We'll pick up on it next week when we have more time for this thought. But you have to always forget if you're going to hit the finish line and win. See, there are things in your life that are breakdowns. And if you don't put those things behind you, you'll never get a breakthrough. My nephew had to put some things behind him. Yes, he's been incarcerated, in jail, arrested, but he's an emerging police officer. Isn't that a bizarre picture? And he has to put that past behind him in order to chase what's in front of him. And one of my favorite stories is a moment where he had to act on that. Listen in.
Now, Ryan, one of the stories I love, while you're in the academy, almost to the end, you have a circumstance that people dream of. It sounds like movies. It actually happened to you. You happened upon an arrest process. Yep. And you're just a citizen. Tell me how this unfolded.
Not just a citizen, a maintenance man.
A maintenance man.
I was working at the time, and orchestrated takedown happened right next to me. Cops came from every direction. One in front of me stopped me from going where I was, so I'm sitting in the middle of the road. They had stopped a van, and I'm sitting there watching all this happen. Next thing I know, the suspect takes off running from the van across division, and he starts running.
And you're watching this.
I'm watching this.
Oh, man, like, that's crazy.
Like, I'm waiting to be punked or something, like, you know, because it was weird. So I see him take off, and he was gaining some distance. He was putting some distance between him and the officers, and so I'm sitting there like, what do I do? Do I just sit here and watch him go by, or do I do what I want to do and just get out? And
so he ran
and
by you? Help him?
Yeah, he was probably, you know, 20 okay. yards off.
If not, so you could open your door and drop him.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. I'm sorry, I'm in the movies. Keep going.
Right. So, I was faced with a decision. Put the van in park, opened the door, got out. After a short chase, I tackled them and kind of just held them down until the other cops could get there and put them in handcuffs. And it was surreal. It was
Citizen Officer Myers on the scene.
And that happened 2 hours before I was due at GRPD. For defensive tactics.
Oh, that's awesome, Ryan. And this ended up in some accolades for you.
Yeah, yep. About a month after that, the chief of police, Chief Belk of the GRPD, gave me a letter of recommendation, some recognition. A few of the undercover officers that were there that day came and they thanked me again. And
That's like divine providence, God laying something out for you to have a
That's how I see
career.
It. That's how I see it. The timing was impeccable.
Come on, man, that is so good.
I love that story. Did you get it? See, there's a moment in your life, everybody has it, where you have to take action. Just stay with me on this. You got to get this. Don't miss this. Ryan is sitting in a car, and he is best known as somebody who's been arrested and been in jail. He's on his way to being an officer, so to speak. He's chasing that. And in that moment, he has to make a decision. I'm sitting in the car. Do I let my past limit me and define me and just say, I have no right to go chase that guy. I've been there myself. Or do I chase what I'm chasing? Do I become the police officer? Do I act like the emerging police officer? Or do I let my past define me and make me less? Men and women, listen, you have sat in that car hundreds of times in your life. You sat there in your marriage, you've sat there in your finances, in your career, in your faith, and the things that God has for you. You have sat in that moment and decided whether or not you're going to stay in the car and let your past define you and give you less than what God has for you, or actually take action, get out of the car, and put your past behind you and chase the things that are in front of you. Yes, it's a huge decision in life, and you repeatedly find yourself in places where God has opened up doors and opportunities to help you put your past behind you and chase the things he has in front of you. And I want to encourage you to do what Paul says, always forget. Put it behind you. Here's the question. What do you need to put behind you? Huh? Are you really where you want to be? I mean, where do you need a breakthrough? Because God has it for all of us to move from breakdown to breakthrough. And listen, that doesn't come with luck. That comes with living out the anatomy of a breakthrough that Paul laid out for us. Always more, huh? Always forget and always forward. What's the third one? Always what? Forward. Say it again. Always what? Forward. I've already read it. Let me read it again. You don't have to turn there. But I want you to just hear it freshly. Philippians 3. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward. You see that? Forward, always forward, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying, listen, always forward. I'm not going to quit on this. Always forward, because I know God has another breakthrough for me. I know that. And I know that God has a future celebration. Listen, God has a future celebration for you. It's just down the road. And maybe weeks, months, maybe a few years. God has a celebration down the road. If you would embrace the breakthrough. If you would get a vision, a picture of the more God has for you. God's just waiting to celebrate. Launching it together in this new year. See, that's how the moment closed with my nephew. It's just a brief but significant moment to celebrate a breakthrough. Check it out.
So you work through some breakdowns. You negotiate 3 years with the associate's degree in the academy, and you finally apply for a job. And obviously you get it, but there's more to the story, more than you applied for the job. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was the first job that I applied for. And there was 217 applicants, give or take 10. And within a month of my interview, I got a conditional offer. It's,
wow.
It's still just unbelievable. I didn't think that stuff like that, I didn't think stuff like that happened to people like me with a past like that. And that was the one thing that my past was keeping me, was this, the demon, so to speak, in my mind that was saying, you know, you can't do this or whatever, but it all worked out. I couldn't believe that. I wasn't even done with the academy, and I got the conditional offer, so.
And now, are you, like, sworn in? I mean, like, are you
police officer? Full-fledged officer of the law, officer.
Do I have to call you Officer Ryan Myers?
I like that, yeah. I think you should.
Then you have to call me Reverend. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Why do they keep everything in? And no, don't start that. It started with last service, after service. Hey, Reverend, please. You know, I love the part when he said, I never thought that things like this, a breakthrough, could happen to people like me with my past. Man, everybody has a sense of that. See, God has more for us, and he has celebrations, but we have to be always moving forward. You can't quit. You got to press on. And see, God has some breakthroughs for you in 2013. But you have to get a picture of the more. So let me ask you, are you where you want to be? Let me ask you, are you where God wants you to be? That's probably more important. So what are your breakthroughs? What breakthroughs do you need? What's the one, two, or three breakthroughs that you need to chase this year? Bow your heads with me. Let's pray together about that. Whether you're in the Cafe Theater, the Cornerstone Theater, right here in this room, I want you to bow with me. I want to take a serious, significant moment before God. Father in heaven, I want to pray over us. Lord, I want to ask that you would do a work among us right now in the launch of this new year, because I know that you have more for us, and for some of us, we don't believe that, and it is yet true. There is more of you. You've put more in us. You have more for us. And so, God, I pray that you'd begin to stir in our spirit, even over these 3 weeks, that you would help form a picture of the more that you have, that you'd give us more spiritually, that you'd give us breakthroughs. God, I ask that you'd give fresh vision and pictures of what that looks like. Do for us, in a sense, what you did for Ryan. And not for our greed, God. We're not talking about more for our greed. It's more for good. So, God, I want to pray for those who right now are whispering their prayers to you, and they're saying, God, I think it's in my marriage. I need a breakthrough in my marriage. Some are saying it's in my family. Others, oh, I know, it's my career. Still others, it's the finances, God, you know. Or it's my attitude. Oh, dear God, I have to shift this attitude. Would you help me do that? My fitness, God, I can't continue in this. My character, I got a breakthrough. God, for us as a church, I would pray for 12 Stone, God, that as your church, your kingdom on earth, the expression of your love, tool of your kingdom work, that you'd give us collectively a breakthrough. And that, God, the things that you have imagined for us, you might be free to do. So today, this week, over these first 3 weeks of the series, oh, gracious God, we need a breakthrough. Would you speak into us what you'd be willing to do and the more? And I would pray this inspiration. I would pray this supernatural clarity. I would pray, God, you would form this in us. That there would be days down the road, weeks, months ahead, maybe years, where we're celebrating because in this moment we believed you had more and you did the work among us. This I pray in Christ's name. And everyone agreed, saying, amen. Now let me tell you where we go next, because this is just the beginning. Not only is this a breakthrough series, but for the next couple weeks as part of this series, I got to give you Ryan's story, my nephew. But in the next 2 weeks, you're going to enjoy an inspiring, encouraging, original film. And you know, sometimes we launch into an original short story film, and it is just marking. And I'm going to let you see a trailer for that film after the offering's taken. You'll want to see it. It's just 90 seconds, and you're going to see what's coming. Now, let me tell you, part of what's going to happen with that, hear me, church, you who are in the Cafe Theater, you who are in a Cornerstone, glad you're with us today. But listen, all of you, 11 o'clock tends to be the service people prefer. Overall, we have 5 services on a weekend. Listen, some of you are going to have to make the decision. You don't want to be in this chaos. And besides, more people are going to tend to come in the rest of this series and the rest of January. So listen, we have a Saturday night service. We just started last night at 6. Saturday night at what time? 6. What night? Saturday. Do it again. What night? Saturday. What time? 6. There's room. We've opened up another service. Make the move. You don't have to make it permanent. Maybe you'll just do it for this series. Maybe you'll do it for now through Easter, which would be awesome. That's how long the service is going to be. And make room for others. You know there are other people who need a breakthrough. Make room for them. Let me just tell you, along with this, there's a phone we're going to have. I'm going to take some liberties here that I probably shouldn't. But I'm just going to tell you, we're not only going to have this, they'll put on the screen. We're not going to have this series where we talk about I need a breakthrough, but we're going to apply it to my spiritual breakthrough, my financial breakthrough, physical breakthrough, my marriage breakthrough, all the way into Easter. It's going to be a season. So this is really going to just kind of move into the practical areas of life and give God's insight for that. While we do that, while we have fun with that, we're also celebrating some things that are part of our breakthrough. As a church, we're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary, and the date is May 17th. What's the date again? May 17th. Mark it on your calendar. We'll give you the information this month, and tickets will start in February. We're going to be at the Gwinnett Arena. We're going to have Tim Hawkins, comedian, John Maxwell, a lot of other stuff. We're going to talk about where we've been and where we're going. It's going to be a ride. You want to be a part of that. Now, along with that, since we're messing with whole 25, let me tell you what else we're going to do. We think that it's possible for God to give us a breakthrough as a church. We're not really into numbers as a church. We're into life change. I know every number represents a person, but we've never had 25,000 people on a weekend. We thought, you know what? What if God would give us a great breakthrough on Easter this year, and God would let us break through 25,000? More importantly, if we could see more people come into the kingdom this Easter than at any other time in our history, would that be worth praying for and working for? I think it would be. So we're going to chase that as a church. May God enable it. So you pray for that. You think about it. You work toward it. Let me give you something else. This is just fun stuff. I know I'm not supposed to share these parts, but because it's not even solved yet. But on the marriage breakthrough, what I really want to do is I want to call it a Corvette marriage. Here's why. Corvette is celebrating their 60th anniversary this year, and I want to talk about marriage as a two-seater love affair that lasts. Corvette's been doing this for 60 years. It lasts. And I want to talk about that as a base for how God forced. And I have a line on somebody donating a 25th silver anniversary Corvette that I would like to have given away to a couple as a date mobile in 12 Stone. Now, does that sound fun? That sounds fun to me. I want the thing. That would just be a rush. So we're playing with stuff like that. This kind of reflects the whole 25th. Going to be a lot of fun in this season. But underneath this is some very serious decision and some very important action. You need a breakthrough. What are the one, two, or three things that God would put on you? And so you reflect on that as the offering is received. As we are invited into a moment of worship and reflection, if your guests are not obligated to give, let the basket pass. Church family, you know how to honor God. In fact, God's so kind to us, you just can't stop gratitude giving, and that's why we give back to Him. And when that's over, I'm going to play the 90-second trailer of the new original film. You're going to love it. Worship well.